All right, as we continue on today, we have our first reading, and Margaret will read our first reading, which will come from the Psalm. We are not doing Lectio from here on out, we're still in Lent officially, but we are going to leave that discipline behind as we'll start that up again during our Breathe services on Tuesdays. So we'll have two readings today. So if you've been yearning for some more scripture, we will have that for you today. So I'm going to unmute Margaret. All right, Margaret, if you would please read our scripture.
This is Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2 and 19 to 29. Open the gates of righteousness for me so I can continue to come in and give. Wait a minute. I can't see part of the screen. Let's see. Give that to God. This is God's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. Sorry. I thank you because you answer me, because you were my saving help. The stone rejected by the builders now is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of God. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it. God, please save us. God, please let us succeed. The one who enters in the Lord's name is blessed. We bless all of those from God's house. The sovereign one is God. God has shined a light on us. So lead the festival offering with palms all the way to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will lift you up high. Give thanks to God, because God is good, because God's faithful love lasts forever.
Amen, amen. Our second reading, it will come from Matthew, chapter 27, verses 15 through 23. Listen for the word. It was customary during the festival for the governor to release to the crowd one prisoner, whomever they might choose. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. When the crowd had come together, Pilate asked him, "With whom would you like me to release you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" He knew that the leaders of the people had handed him over because of jealousy. While he was serving as judge, his wife sent this message to him, "Leave the righteous man alone. I've suffered much today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and kill Jesus. The governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you, Barabbas?" they replied. Pilate said, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What wrong has he done?" And they shouted even louder, "Crucify him." So this is a passage and kind of story that we do and we hear every year. We understand that we are both living in this kind of space where as humans, as people of faith, we are not perfect, and we will often are in the cycle and swirling of who we are in our best and who we are at our worst, where God rejoices with us and where we turn away from God. And so today I want to talk about the two elements of that. I kind of feel like there's this heightened whiplash of that in our time right now of the goodness of who we are and what we can do. And then where are these places that we fall back into, places of brokenness or of destruction? As always, invite you to go ahead and have conversations in the chat room. I'm going to give you two today. One is around gratitude, and then we'll do one around grace. So would ask for if you want to think about in your chat room, for what have you gained gratitude during this time of shelter in place? As you have heard me say, this is not a time of really talking about silver linings. I feel like if we use that language, and I would encourage us not to, that in some ways that only heightens for those of us that have not been impacted by what is going on. Our community, First Presbyterian Church, has been really very fortunate in that none of our direct folks have been engaged, have have tested positive or are sick or in the hospital around this particular thing. But that is not the reality, as we know, for most of the world. And so I would never want us to say there's a silver lining to this, knowing that people are suffering and dying. At the same time, even at our worst times, even when those moments when things are rough, we know we've all been through those moments where we're struggling, where maybe we've lost a loved one, or there's been tragedy in our family or in our community that feels like it just sucks the very soul out of us, that our bodies, our minds, we're so tired. We don't want to get out of bed. We can't help but watch the news, but yet we know what it kind of does to our souls. Those moments where systems may be feeling incredibly oppressive. I think in our day today, in our times today, there are systems that have taken advantage of people that now are using this time to do so even more. So we all know what it's like to be in those moments, and still something happens where we see a glimpse of joy, that there is a beckoning of joy to us. So it's not that this caused the joy to happen. I would never say that we needed anything to happen so we could experience joy. But in the midst of this, just like in both of these readings, there were struggles going on with the people and the community. And there was this glimpse of joy that came about, God's presence for the Israelites, Jesus coming into a people who were feeling oppressed by the society and by the legal scholars and by the church. And there was this glimpse of joy that they grabbed onto. I think too often we look down upon the parade goers. It's easy for those of us who feel like we're beyond the parade to look at those who are rejoicing and say, ah, just get past the parade. But at a certain point, I think what that means is we become cynical to the joy that can surround us. And so I would like us to think about those moments, those times where during this really difficult moment, this difficult stage of life, whether it's the boredom we may experience, or for those who are really on the front lines, or those who are sick, that there are moments of joy. I know for me, we love having two of our three children are back with us. And the reason they're here is not one that we would have ever hoped for. There are these moments where we just remember what it's like to have our kids home, and the laughter or the dance parties, whatever's going on, that there's these moments. I also have noticed, I try to do some walking every day, and as in our neighborhood, it's pretty wide. And so even as we're walking around, walking through the neighborhood, you know, two or three of us are in the middle of the street. There's another one on the sidewalk. There is this compassion for each other. Like, I haven't run into those people that are not paying attention yet. And I take that as a great joy, that people are thinking beyond themselves. So as you are in this, like, think about, what are those moments of joy? The other thing is that I think this is a moment where we do prepare the way for Christ to be known. That there's so much out there right now that is antithetical to what I believe and what I think First Presbyterian and many of you who are on this at worship today, around a gospel that is about, that's being professed, it's about ourselves and not about the community and our understanding of our place in the world. That some people would never say that one gospel is better than the other, but I would. I actually think the version of the gospel that we profess and that I believe in and that I choose to believe in, that is about more than me or just us, but it's about all of us together, that's a gospel we're sharing. A gospel that talks about, in the specific days of today, the inequities of how communities are being treated and how the inequities of the impact of COVID-19 over communities of color, and the ways in which economics have created these spaces where healthcare workers and those who have no choice but to work in grocery stores or delivery services and receiving no hazard pay and being put in danger, but to our benefit, those of us that are allowed to stay home. For us to lift that up is a better gospel. A gospel for many churches today that are still meeting in person. A gospel that believes that the only way that we can express ourselves as Christians is to gather in person in a time where the world and science says that is not the way that we will protect ourselves and others. That is not a gospel we profess. And so we profess one that says we take full heart about who we are and our place in the community. And so what that means is we lay down before the things that may be uncomfortable, that may be difficult for us, just as cloaks and palms were laid down before Christ in that triumphal entry to smooth the way for Christ to come into the world. That is our role now. In fact, I think there is heightened and there's more visibility of the places where Christ is needed. Christ, our understanding of Christ's compassion and humility and love and justice and all of those things and how they work together to create a space and a community that are powerful and life-giving in a world and a day where so many of us need to know new life and new beginnings. So the parade goers, I think we need to fully embrace that moment in our life because that's important for us. We cannot become the cynical ones who look down upon those who find joy in some moments or that we had, or to forget that we have a duty and an obligation, a calling to prepare the way for Christ to come into the world. That is something that should feed us and give us life and joy. And at the same time, we know, and I ask you the second question, is that there are places that we are in desperate need of God's grace. That as many of us, and not all of us, but as many of us have the privilege and the luxury of finding some normal. I wonder how we have expressed, how you have expressed in word or deed, that which is in need of grace. This whiplash I talk about is this, we are finding joy and then we shift back into maybe doing things that aren't of God. And then we go back and we find God and then we shift back in this back and forth that it's almost so much heightened because we're just in the same space all the time. One of the things that I think is becoming a reality is that for many of us who are not on the front lines, for many of us who are adapting to life and are taking serious this idea that we need to shelter in place and stay home and that taking seriously this idea of whether we are essential and need to be out. What happens for us is that what has become new, what was jolting to our systems starts to become old. It starts to become normal. What was somewhat of a push for us to think about new ways of being together because we yearn for that, we now settle in. And anytime we begin to settle in, there's a danger of calcifying. There's a danger of saying, gosh, weren't we so imaginative just a month ago? But yet this is such an opportunity for us to continue to dream, continue to become, to think about who we could be. It is not a time for us to welcome Christ into our lives and into the community just to say there is a line and that's enough. We don't want to say that's enough, Jesus, because Jesus is the one who has brought us into this space and we don't want to turn. We don't want to welcome in the joy and just welcome in it enough for us not to do anything with it. But that's what sometimes can happen. We begin to settle into our routines and our systems and what we do and how we do it. And we begin to be that thing that we've never wanted to become, but has we've been reminded so much of what we were, we become that again. One of the gifts of this time is that we've been forced into thinking about what it means to be community, what it means for us to be church, what is essential, what is not essential. And now we're going to come into this time where we will discover this again. And so part of our journey, our struggle, our challenge is to continue to be open to the ways that Christ enters into our lives and not become calcified in what we're even doing now. And lastly, I think we can begin to fall into traps of our own resilience. I think for a community like ours, where for many of us, again, not everyone, but for many of us, this is a huge inconvenience. And that's really about it, that we will be okay for the most part, that we have the resources to be able to support those who are doing the good work, that we are able to obey the shelter in place, that we're not forced to be out working because we have to. There's all kinds of ways that we can fall into this idea that our resilience is somehow earned, that our resilience and ability to be in this space somehow gives us some upper hand on how to handle this time. The friend this morning that popped into my head, and I had to slip this in, is that rather than realizing that Jesus rode in on a donkey in a and just the lowest of low, that we sometimes we want to ride in on a white horse. And that we may want to come in, and because we've done so well, here's all the things that we can do for you. It's a very fine line as we think about how do we support those who are in our midst and doing the good work. But the challenge for us is not to believe that we are doing okay because we earned it somehow, but our own privilege and the resources that we have allowed us to be in a space that so many others are not. And we need to continue to be humble enough to know that what we do and how we share and the things that we take pride in sometimes can remind others of their struggle and our lack of understanding. Very careful with what I share online. I generally am, but even now, because I think we want to be playful still, but we also want to realize that not everybody has the space to do that. That there are folks struggling for shelter and housing and life and health, and that our resilience and how we use that and how we engage in the world says more about who we are than how we actually have achieved that resilience. For really, I used this last time as our orneriness picture, but the reality is Jesus rode on a lowly donkey, and that we too need to remember those who are struggling. This is not about spirituality versus social justice or outward versus inward, but this is about acknowledging who we are as a community and the power that we have, to bring healing and hope, and not to be those who hoard or hold on. That we know that Jesus calls us to be with those and with the least of those. And for us, as we have landed in some spaces of normalcy, as our church continues to think through programs and structures and do good work for the long-term and longevity of our church, and you're doing that in your own world and your own lives, know that there are so many that are not able to do that. And if we hold on to our own journey so tightly that we limit the journeys of others, then we are doing what Christ does not want us to do. We are welcoming Christ only in for a bit, but not too much. And so we become not only ones who are just the parade goers, which is great, but we then also become the crucifiers. We welcome Christ into our space, but we kill Christ before Christ can transform the world and ourselves. So let us not be those. Let us not be just the parade goers, but let us understand that if we are not careful, we can also be those who are yelling, "Crucify him." So this week, as you are going through your time and experiencing this and however you may be doing that, know that there are always those who are in need of our love, our care, our support, and our justice. That as we welcome this version of the gospel into the world, we share it, but we don't hold on to it so tightly that it can't continue to be shared beyond us. Let's not confine Christ. The parade releases Christ into the world. Let's not shout, "Crucify him," but remember that at the end of the day, Christ brings us new life, even out of the most destructive and despairing times of the world. Hold on to that in the most intimate parts of your world, as well as in the most gracious. Let us pray. Holy and amazing God, for the Spirit that is in this place, the Spirit that continues to move, we give you thanks. We ask that you would continue to be with us, that you would continue to be with our communities in the ways that we need, that you may always be willing and pushing into our worlds. Let us be open to that so that we may continue to know you, grow in you, and share your presence with those who are seeking to know the divine. We thank you for that gift and that challenge this and every day. And all God's people say, amen.